Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. You may be seated. We sing a prayer hymn before the sermon. Lord, listen to us, your children, praying. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the epistle text in the book of Romans, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. Today's text tells us to do some things, to live sacrificially, to not conform to the whims of the world, and to allow our minds to be renewed. All for one purpose, so that we might discern what the will of God. In other words, that we might perceive. In other words, so that we might distinguish, so that we might come to a better understanding of what the will of God is, which is here defined by Paul as that which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is perfect. Sometimes to understand what something is, it's helpful to understand what something isn't. Okay? Based upon how the will of God is here described as good, acceptable, and perfect, let's approach its meaning by determining first what isn't. Asking ourselves, in reference to God's will, what isn't good? What isn't acceptable? And what isn't perfect? My rationale: that looking at what the will of God isn't may help us come to a discernment, to a perception, to a better understanding of what God's will really is. My 10-year-old cousin was riding his bicycle on a Cub Scout outing when a stray dog needing a friend picked up with him and the other Cub Scouts who were riding in a pack with supervision far off the edge of the highway. The dog, frightened by the sound of an oncoming truck, approached them from the rear, bolted into Larry Dean's bicycle, tipping him over and onto the path of an oncoming concrete truck. Larry Dean was killed instantly. That tragic accident, and many like it, falls into the list of not so good things that happen every day. Larry Dean's death was not the act of God doing his will. God did not pull the trigger on my little 10-year-old cousin. I lived in Newburgh, Oregon for 10 years. A place a little bit like Petersburg, where you didn't know everyone, but knew and became friends with many, in church and beside church, out of church. A couple of realtors and two of their friends flew in their private plane to Bend, Oregon, on a business venture. On their way home, they iced up, hit a mountain, crashed, and all four were killed. One of the four was a friend of mine, not in our church, but a friend. And so I attended the funeral of the four of them, held in the gymnasium of George Fox University, and listened to one of their pastors say that God was opening up a new subdivision in heaven and needed these men to work on the project. It was a sorrowful attempt to be consoling to a grieving community by a distorted understanding of scriptures that God had caused the accident, that their death was the will of God. Their tragic death left widows and children without fathers. How can that fall into the will of God? But rather it falls again into one of those not so good things that happen every day. And in no way was that the will of God, which a well-meaning preacher wanted us to believe, and strangely, some church people do believe. Many of you know about our little Trina back in Minnesota, our spunky little 20-year-old granddaughter and her bout with ovarian cancer. Another one of those not so good things that happen when every day, all around, indiscriminately happening at the roll of the dice, which with great certainty I declare is not the handiwork of God. His will does not employ illness as a work of his hands. Our Lutheran / biblical understanding of God is that God is the creator of life, and that all disruption of life, ultimately ending in death, is neither the work nor the will of our loving Father in heaven. Back now to my rationale. If we have a somewhat clear understanding of what the will of God is not, it is then possibly more able to understand what the will of God is, coming to an understanding and a perception, a discernment of it, the will of God. But here, it gets a little trickier. Here, it gets a little tougher, a little more difficult, at least for me. It's not unusual for people to struggle with the phrase, the will of God. Especially us church people. We want to know what the will of God is. It is something we expect of ourselves as followers of Jesus, as children of the Heavenly Father. We expect ourselves to understand and to know what the will of God is for our lives. Because we want to live in accordance with it. Because we want to intellectually know and emotionally feel that we are living the way God wants us to live. Living according to His will. As Christians, we want to know then and to understand that what happens in our lives is God connected, that God is involved in our lives, that He is a part of our everyday, of what's going on in us. But this is where it gets sticky. This is where it gets complicated. Our desire and our hope that whatever happens in our lives, that God is in the midst of it. On the basis of Scriptures, then we can build a strong case for predestination. You heard it, the word predestination. Citing Bible verse after Bible verse in support of the view regarding the will of God. In Ephesians 1:5, the Apostle Paul writes, "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." It's a perfect Bible verse for what I'm trying to get across this morning. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. This sounds like an open and closed case for predestination, for Calvinism, for Presbyterianism, but no, we're not going to go that way. We're going to stay Lutheran. It is God's will that we, through Jesus Christ, are reclaimed sons and daughters of God. That's God's will. Right there it says so in Ephesians. And I love what the Apostle Peter wrote concerning this. In 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing that any of us should perish, but that all should reach repentance." That's God's will. Not wishing that any of us should perish, but that through repentance we would be saved. This is what God's will is, that no one should perish. This is how God has predestined every one of us, that none of us should perish. I believe, based on scriptures, that God has predestined his entire creation to be forgiven by God's grace, which Jesus delivers to us by his sacrificial death on the cross, for which God wants all of us to embrace. This is God's will. This is what the Bible teaches. Hear again these wonderful words from Ephesians. "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to what? The purpose of his will." This understanding of predestination is biblical, and it's Lutheran, and it's mine. And I hope it's yours. Furthermore, based on the scriptures, God has given us a choice regarding that for which he has predestined us. He's given us a choice. We can choose it, or we can reject it. We can say yes to it, or we can say no to it. Let's be Christian Lutherans. Let's be Lutheran / Christians. We have a choice to make, choosing to accept God's grace or choosing not to. His predestination, wish and will for all of us, is that we make the right choice. Let's be Christian Lutherans. Let's be Lutheran Christians. We have choices to make. If you drink, don't drive. Simple as that. Which, if you choose poorly, injuring yourself and others, has nothing to do with predestination. It has everything to do with the fact that you made a lousy choice, a foolish decision. Oftentimes trumps the will of God. Let's be Christian Lutherans. Let's be Lutheran Christians. My granddaughter is simply one of the unlucky ones to have come down with ovarian cancer at the tender age of 20. She was not singled out by God. God did not take aim at Trina. It was the roll of the dice. We live in a fallen world. It first happened in the Garden of Eden. And it continues to happen up and down the streets of Petersburg. Sometimes we're lucky, and sometimes we're not. As followers of Jesus, we all want to discern what the will of God is for our life. Sure we do. I do. You do. It has nothing to do with illness. It has nothing to do with tragic accidents or a myriad of things for which people try to blame the pin on God for. Pin the blame on God for. God's will. We read it in the Bible. It's so simple. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise towards us, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing for any of us to perish. That's God's will, but that we should all reach repentance. This is God's beautiful will. This is predestination at its finest. God has destined me to make a choice to get in or to get out. To accept His grace or to reject it. To say yes or to say no. I may get hit by a truck. I may die in an airplane accident. I'm going home in 5 weeks. I shouldn't say that. I'm leaving home and going home. I may get cancer. All determined by the roll of the dice, not predetermined by the will of God. Has nothing to do with the will of God. God's will is about the big stuff. Getting to it. God's will is about the big stuff. About daily living in the abundance of God's grace. God's will is about the big stuff. Daily living in God's kingdom that has already come and is yet to come. God's will is about the big stuff. Daily focused on these words from the prayer which we pray so often. Thy kingdom come. What?
Thy will be done.
In whose life? Your life and my life. When? When? Here and now. God's will is about the big stuff, daily. I'm going to read it. I got it written down. God's will is about the big stuff, daily focused on these words from Jesus' prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life, here and now. That's God's will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the words of Your scriptures. It helps us to a little bit understand what this life is all about. Where it came from, we'll never know. But one thing we know where it's going. So we thank You, Heavenly Father, for being patient with us. that through repentance we will come to receive your will, the eternal kingdom that you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing the hymn following sermon.